Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 108 for August 5th, the crash of 2007. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/TWiT. It's time to TWiT, and with me, John C. Dvorak from Dvorak.org/blog. He's going to be running out on us in a little bit, but we thought we'd get him on because he's written a very compelling, controversial article in PC Magazine, and we'll talk about it in a sec. David Prager, also from Revision 3.
Hey there.
I've been trying to get you on because there have been a lot of changes going on. Jim Lauterbach has left Ziff Davis. He was we knew him. He was our editorial director at Tech TV. He worked at Ziff Davis practically his whole life. And he left to go to Revision 3. He's now your CEO.
Yeah, so I guess officially started in July, and I think
took a month off.
Yeah, in fact, and originally he was going to kind of officially start after that point, or officially start as far as everyone else was knowing, because we thought, what's the point of having, hey, here's our new CEO, he's gone in London for a month. But then everyone's like, oh, Jim went over to Revision 3. So I'm like, yep, he's over here.
It's kind of out there. You couldn't keep it a secret. Is this CEO, was because Jay Adelson basically the CEO in the past? Or
yeah, Jay was, I guess, for more than a year, ever since Revision 3 did its angel round, which is about a little under $1 million, just under a year ago. Jay was like the interim CEO because he was also over at Digg at the same time. I used to tell Jay all the time, I'd say, well, he's just like Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs has Apple and Pixar. You know, Apple is Digg
and a helicopter.
Revision 3 can be your Pixar, right?
No, and it's a jet, I believe, actually.
But basically, you know, we went around for a whole year. It wasn't an urgency to try to get someone to be full-time doing it. And then,
how come you didn't take it? How come you didn't take the job? It sounds like
you've been running Revision 3, David.
Yeah, I kind of have been.
Can I guess why you didn't take the job? Because you went to the wrong building.
What?
Yes, exactly. Well, I went over to the CNET building when they wanted me to do my job interview for
Revision. Is that true?
That I went to the CNET building?
Yeah.
Yeah, I dropped off Alex Albrecht at the CNET building to do the Cranky Geek Show.
Is that really true?
No, it's absolutely true, yeah.
John kept saying, ask Prager about this. I thought he was teasing.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. I just know that he was really late. I was going to go somewhere else. I took the 6th Street exit on 280.
It's not that far away. It's 2 blocks away.
Hauled ass up there, saw a big green logo, said Cena. I'm like, all right, get out.
Here we are.
And then he went in there and said, who am I supposed to talk to? I said, wait a second, you're in the wrong building. Get out here.
Where's Cranky Geeks? I'm sorry, that's down the street. It's kind of fun, and though. CNET's just 2 blocks away from Z.
Well, the following week or 2 weeks later, something like that, they both, the same two people, Kevin and Alex, went over to be on Tom Merritt's show. Buzz Out Loud, but they do a weekly live show. Anyway, I told him to tell him I dropped him off at Ziff Davis.
I can't believe how much production is being done now. And I also can't believe how much like Tech TV Revision 3 is starting to look.
And it's all over in the same area, which is weird.
Yeah. And this new Giga Ohm show is produced by or directed by Martin Sargent.
And right now it's we've got Sarah Lane, myself, and Martin kind of working on it because everyone's got a million things to do. So we're all basically paying attention to it. And so that show right now, we're building studios right now. So we're actually shooting that
show.
You're
building studios?
Yeah, we don't have it. Well, we have an office under construction and a studio under construction.
Where's that going to be?
It's all going to be on along the 3rd Street, where the new 3rd Street Rail is in San Francisco. There's these little big warehouse building. So we snagged a spot to have an office in there and a spot to build a studio in there. And
that's really amazing. I mean, we're really Tech TV is kind of coming back on the internet, basically.
I guess it's been doing that for the past 2 years now. Yeah. I mean, with CNET, with Ziff Davis, and with TWiT, and with Revision 3, and a couple
amazing.
Others.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, who knows what would have happened without... I wonder if it would the landscape would be the same if Tech TV hadn't gotten sold. I mean, the technology would have evolved the same, I think. But I don't know if all the personalities would have been so quick to start putting out content.
I think this is so much better, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not as easy to get, and I know people complain about that, but it'll be. Now, Patrick is going to join us, supposedly. He's in Vegas for DEF CON, the big hacker conference.
Never wants to get online over there because he's terrified.
He said he was going to. I know, because he's afraid of getting hacked. I don't blame him for that, but he's probably looking
for... What can they do to him? What does he have on his machine that's right. so valuable?
Good point.
What he ought to do is just have an EVDO card. I think that's quick enough to do a Skype conference,
sure.
isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I
finally got one of those things. I love it.
Which one did you get, the Sprint or the Verizon?
Just the Verizon EVDO.
Yeah, I have the Verizon.
And at least in most, just about any city, I could just turn it on.
You know there's a 5 gigabyte a month limit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Huh.
They say if you use more than 5 gigabytes, you're probably doing something that's not permitted.
Mm.
Like using the internet, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I can't tell. It's slower,
after that.
For what I do most of the time, what I would need it for. I mean, I can't tell the difference between being on a normal broadband connection because all I'm doing is going through web pages quickly and uploading and downloading piles of email.
Anyway, Patrick's leaving. We'll talk about this when Patrick comes on, but Patrick has announced that he's leaving DLTV.
And his wife's having a baby.
And I don't think he's leaving to raise the baby, is he? I mean, he must be going somewhere else. And my question for you is where? Do you know? Well, I'll ask him.
Long silence.
Wasn't that long. Okay, we'll find out. I'll ask him. Patrick's, you know, that's his story. We'll ask him.
He's not going to tell you.
Bubble 2.0 coming soon, says John C. Dvorak. Wait a minute, John. You're saying that the boom cycle we're in right now, and we're seeing it, boy, in media, just what we've just been talking about. You're saying that's kind of a mirror of what happened in 1999?
No, not right now. What this is a mirror of kind of what happened in 1997 when Netscape appeared.
But the difference is there.
We got
big
a ways
IPOs.
To go before this gets crazy. This isn't crazy yet. It's just kind of nutty.
But you think there will be another one?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can see it coming. I mean, look around.
But there won't be IPOs.
Listen to Prager. I mean, what Prager's talking about? They're building studios.
They're building studios.
People are spending money. Disney just bought the little game
Penguin.
Company run by three guys for $700 million.
That's amazing.
They themselves. I mean, it's one thing after another, and it's just going to continue to go.
But isn't the difference that there are no IPOs? Doesn't that change the quality of it considerably? Because there's no pressure from stockholders to
Facebook.
What about Facebook?
They're going to IPO.
They are?
I don't know. It sure seems like it, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know. I don't have any insider knowledge.
Nobody wants to IPO until they get repeal Sarbanes-Oxley. But in the meantime, there's all this privatization stuff going on. There's these big it's just – what difference does it make? Is that you can IPO for the $700 million or you can have
– But you don't have
Google
the crash. You don't have the crash if you don't IPO. Right? Because you're not public. There's no stock to crash.
As long as your parent company has deep pockets or you have enough VC money.
Well, you just go out of business. But there's no crash.
No, the crash wasn't just a bunch of dot-com companies. The whole market crashed, and this is what's going to happen again. What exacerbates it is the following scenario. Not necessarily these dot-com companies being bought up by Disney, but by the fact that these big privatization companies, the KKRs and all these other guys, are buying up all this stock, and they're taking millions and millions and millions of shares of stock off the market. And since everything's supply and demand, the whole market is just going to go up just naturally, and it's going to make it just kind of a weirder bubble. And then these privatization companies are going to start dumping these once they can figure out how to do it. They're going to start dumping all these little companies.
Well, that's the problem. There's
no on the market. There's going to be too many IPOs. It's going to go nuts for a while. This will be in a couple of years.
So you say there will be IPOs?
Yeah, eventually.
Because there's no liquidity. There's no liquidity without a market.
Until the Sarbanes-Oxley thing is straightened out. I have another column that you probably didn't read, which is called Repeal Sarbanes-Oxley, which I read in Market Watch.
I know how you felt about that. Yeah.
Can you quickly re-explain Sarbanes-Oxley?
Yeah, Sarbanes-Oxley, which is also known by me as the Public Accountants and Auditors Protection Act of 2002, is a system that is put in place to protect not the public, but to protect the big auditing and accounting firms from the debacle that took place when MCI and Enron and all these companies went out of business, and all these bean counters who were supposed to monitor all this stuff were going, we didn't know, we got fooled. And so now this law was placed to make it so that it essentially takes those guys out of the picture. It's not really their responsibility anymore to actually audit or keep track of a company. The company has to do all this extra bookkeeping, and the overhead is believed to be about 4% of the profits of any American company. Any American public company loses 4% off the bottom line because of all the requirements of this.
So
thing.
Nobody
it's
wants to go
completely onerous.
Nobody wants to go public as a result.
Right, and you're responsible for all kinds of weird stuff. You can't talk anymore. This is why, you know, it's kind of ruining the business and people can't say anything to anyone. I mean, it was always somewhat restrictive, but now it's unbelievable. So it's just a mess. And so most of these companies doing IPOs, they're doing them on the London Stock Exchange, or they're going up to Canada, or they're going any place because it's just the American system is not working.
We are in a boom. I mean, there's no question we're in a boom. And maybe there is even irrational exuberance. I mean, when you see Disney, but the $300 million down and another $350 million over the next 2 years if they meet user targets for this Penguin. What is it? Happy Penguin.
Club Penguin.
Club Penguin. It's MySpace for tots.
Yeah, it's actually, I went and checked it out. It's actually a really nice site.
It's very sticky. They got a
if
good,
you have a kid yeah. who's they got some games on there you can play.
Yep.
But if you're a kid or you have if you're a parent with a 12-year-old or 10-year-old or a 9-year-old, you can put them on this site and not worry about it.
A lot of talk about the Goo phone this week. Wall Street Journal saying that Google has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to develop a phone platform that they've been pitching T-Mobile and Verizon and other wireless companies in the U.S. and Europe trying to set it up. They want a wireless service and they say it'll be ad-based. A little bit of credence lent to this by Eric Schmidt talking at the D conference, saying that he expected that there would be twice as much to make in advertising on phones than there is on regular online, at least.
Hmm.
That makes sense because if they have GPS in there, they know where you are, they know what you're doing. They could now they've got to be subtle about it. They can't.
It's going to be really annoying. People are going to hate this.
That's they got to solve.
I mean,
that.
You're walking past the store and the thing.
Hey,
comes
would you like
up.
To buy a thing? We're next door. We're right here. I see you. Come on. Hey, where are you going? Come back here. Hey.
It could be exactly. really annoying. But Google's good at subtlety, yes?
Are they? Are they really?
Are they really? I think it's very interesting. I just love watching Google. I love watching the strategic way they're developing their business. And so far, they've done a good job, don't you think?
Well, there's no denying that. But, you know, how long can this go on? And how come nobody can copy what they're doing? I mean, it's not rocket science.
Well, but I think they have, you know what? I think that they're one of their keys to their success. They have a very clear vision of what their business is. And everything they've done up to this point, even though it seems initially far afield, things like, you know, the spreadsheet and the office, is really all about their core business, which is, frankly, advertising. And they got a handle on it. I think they're building eyeballs and they're building a great ad platform, and they're just pulling ahead.
Pulling ahead of who?
You
they're
and me.
Pulling ahead of Microsoft.
Microsoft.
Well, they're pulling ahead of us, that's for sure. But
well, look what Microsoft's doing, and they're thinking about doing an ad supported version of Microsoft Works.
You know, I don't get why Microsoft feels that it has to. You know, Google. Does, you know, Microsoft's
Google
one of those
did
companies.
It.
Oh, Google did it. We have to do it. Google
did
it. We have to do it. Oh, Apple did it. We have to do it. Apple did it. We have to do it.
I guarantee you that's the thinking.
I think Google Documents are really good.
It works. I use Google Spreadsheet all the time. In fact, it's a great way to share spreadsheets. We use it. We use it all the time for.
I believe I may have been the first person to write about Google Documents when it was called Writely.
Writely was very cool.
It was the same thing. That's what they bought.
Well, yeah, in a way, though. I mean, they Googleized it, so it doesn't look as cool as it used to, but it's still the same underlying technology. Did you get an invitation for Apple's event on Tuesday? I did.
I didn't get one.
I was actually...
Apple doesn't like me. I'm blackballed.
Where is it? A Moscone?
No, it's a mini event. It's a town
hall. It's going to be nothing. They're going to roll out some new thinner iMacs, and that's going to be
It'll
the
be new
it.
iMacs. They say... This was interesting, because usually they email it. In fact, I was doing Mac Break Weekly, and I kept looking for the email, because the rumors were flying, and Gadget was saying, yeah, we just got our invite. And I said, where's my invite? Turns out, I had the phone off. They called during the taping. You can never reach me because I'm always recording something. But they were very clear. The person who called me from Apple said, this is not iPhone and it's not iPod. It's a Mac-based announcement.
Is it new processor chips inside of the...
I think it's a new design for the iMac is what everybody seems to think.
It's supposed to be thinner and lighter, and they may have a big giant screen version.
Brushed metal.
Yeah, brushed metal.
Wouldn't it be nice? Something like the 30-inch monitor, if that were an iMac? Wow.
I heard that that's a possibility.
That would be a pretty amazing product.
Well,
they need to do something because, that really, frankly, the Mac crowd, and I include myself in this, is a little worried because of Apple's focus on the consumer marketplace with the iPod and the iPhone, that Apple may be kind of getting out of the computer business. They dropped computer from their name.
Yeah, I think it's the days are numbered for you guys.
But where, you mean I have to buy Windows?
Vista.
Vista? No. First iPhone update came out.
Patches. No, I just got it.
They had to do it because at Black Hat, these hackers were going to tell the world how to hack the iPhone.
Well, I just grabbed this little GUI application that lets you hack it. It's called iFantastic. I don't know if you've seen
that. What's it do?
What it lets you do is it lets you quote unquote unjail the phone. It lets you transfer MP3 files over to it to use as ringtones.
Cool. Oh, I want to do that.
It lets you reorganize what the homepage looks like, remove the icons, reorder the icons in any order you want, and then
hey, will you do this to your phone and let me know if it works? Because I don't want to do it.
I did stick it on my phone. And it lets you. If you might see in the upper left, it says like AT&T next to how good signal you have. You can modify that logo to be anything you want, signal, as long as it conforms within the size.
Signal sucks.
So no, instead of saying AT&T, you could make it say Twit, or you could make
that's
say
a good idea.
Anything
I want
you
a Twit
want.
Phone.
So yeah, I mean, you could easily do that. So I did just that. It's nothing outrageous. Doesn't let it do anything outrageous either.
But it didn't break your phone. That's all I'm concerned about. I don't know.
So it's fun, and it's easier than what was released before. I think before you had to go through
a significant
amount of additional command line operations.
Yeah,
when you don't.
Major stuff. iTunes Store 3 billionth song sold. 6 months to 3 billion. That's pretty fast. It took them 2 years to get to the first billion, a year to get the second billion, 6 months just to get to the third billion. They're now the number three retail music retailer online.
The number three? What are you talking about?
Number three in the world. I'm sorry, including brick and mortar. Walmart, Best Buy, Apple.
Oh, okay.
Walmart, Best Buy, Apple, then Amazon. Okay.
And I think the music industry is still selling far fewer music.
They still don't get it. The music industry is so clueless. It's so sad.
Yeah, they're suing everybody left and right.
Eminem suing Apple. Why would Eminem sue Apple?
Because I think in this case, this is legit.
For copyright infringement. He says
that's because they used him in an ad. Isn't that the reason?
No. It's because he says
in an ad, you can't start just using anybody's images in an ad.
No, that's not it. No, I'm sure they paid him for the ad. He's saying it's copyright infringement because they're selling his music online. He said,
I thought it was because he was in an ad.
No. Eminem's music publishers have not given Apple permission to offer the artist's music for download. See, now, normally the label is who's responsible. The label distributes. The label makes the deal. But apparently what's happening is Apple is paying its revenue share to Universal Music Group, which publishes Eminem's music, but not to the music publishers and the people who own the rights to the sheet music. So 8 Mile Style and Martin Affiliated, the companies representing Eminem, demand that Apple stop offering downloads of his music. Now, I guess it's reasonable for them to say, we want some of this money.
Yeah, they're probably not getting it then.
Oh, you're right. You know what? I'm reading more of the article. He did sue them over using Lose Yourself in an Apple commercial.
They used it and didn't pay him? What?
It was a great commercial. Remember that great commercial? The guy walking down the street and... You got to lose yourself in the music.
Oh, it's a great song, I think, but I'm just blown away that they didn't think about it.
They settled out of court, so we don't know, but obviously Apple said
it. I think that's what started the feud.
That's not good.
You know what? When we were putting together the Giga Ohm show, I originally wanted the theme song of the show to be the Biggie Smalls song, Mo Money, Mo Problems.
Good, I like it.
And it's been sampled by a couple, but I thought that'd be really funny and kind of cool.
How much do they want?
So what they wanted, I had a friend of mine in New York who does music licensing, and she spent a lot of time trying to figure out all the different owners of the different stuff because some of it was sampled.
Right.
Long story short, they wanted upwards of $2,000 an episode.
Oh!
An episode to license it.
Oh!
And so say we put out anywhere near 50 episodes a year if we did it most every week. That's like $100,000 just for the opening music. So I was like, no way.
That's more than Audible pays us.
And I was surprised, especially for, you know, it's an online show. But, you know, online shows are getting closer to being TV shows.
They don't have a clue that there's
difference
there.
Yeah.
And then apparently also you got to tell them, you know, this stuff, once you put it out on the internet, it's kind of out there. You can't use it for a 3-week window and then make it go away.
You got 13 weeks rights, then you have to pull all copies.
Yeah. So we're doing a deal with, I think we're about to do a deal with APM so we can use some of their music in some of our productions. And so they're actually forward thinking and saying, okay, we understand that these things, we're not going to be able to give you a window of time to use a specific track, because once you release the episode, it's kind of out there.
Yeah.
As you know, video on demand, which means on demand could be a year from now.
Right.
So,
how do you like this guy suing Apple, saying,
you didn't tell me that the iPhone battery couldn't be replaced?
That's stupid.
That's stupid is right.
Why don't the courts throw things like that out?
Well, isn't there that slap thing? Maybe it's only in California where you can, if you file a frivolous lawsuit, you may be forced to pay legal expenses for defending it. But they ought to have, if it's not, apparently it's in California only. They sure ought to have it everywhere. It's ridiculous.
The iPhone's going to have problems, I think, with their battery eventually pretty darn soon. I mean, I have to charge it every day.
You do? I've been having a great battery life. I mean,
really?
Better than most of my other phones, yeah.
I mean, maybe
but every smartphone you charge every day, but this thing I could go a couple of days, absolutely.
I mean, I make sure that I turn the Wi-Fi off on it if I'm not in range of anything, because I keep thinking maybe it's searching for it and it keeps eating up battery power.
Yes, I turn the Bluetooth off.
I turn all kinds of crap off.
I leave the Bluetooth on, but I would turn off the look for Wi-Fi networks. Turn that off, absolutely. I think that does kill the battery. But I leave the Wi-Fi on, just the thing where it says look for networks.
Mm-hmm.
Mod shippers busted in nationwide raid, 16 states.
Operation, hey, this is a ridiculous story.
Operation Tangled Web. Why, John?
What's the point of wasting government resources on a bunch of jerk-offs that have little mod chips in their video game consoles? They're going to 32 states, and they got like 50 people. I don't even know how they found them. I guess they were on a mailing list somewhere, and they go cracking into the house and, okay, hands behind your head, you got a mod chip. Give me a break. Is this a good use of the government taxpayer money, or what are we talking about here? Fascist America?
I love
this. I think
it's
a ridiculous story.
Julie Myers, Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security.
Illicit devices like the ones targeted today are created with one purpose in mind, subverting copyright protections.
What's that got to do with Homeland Security?
Because if we let people steal PlayStation 3 games, the terrorists win.
Looks like they won already with these bullheads.
I think two words, Orrin Hatch. I think companies like Microsoft and Sony probably pour a lot of money into political campaigns to make sure that the FBI and Homeland Security keep copyright infringement on top of mind.
Just playing all these out-of-region DVDs has got them all pissed off.
Oh, I hate that. I hate it when people do that. We're losing millions. And you're right, John. This mod ship is a tiny business. It's difficult. No one does. I mean, you know, it's a fraction of 1% of all users use this stuff.
It's just baffling to me.
John, you want to take off? It is 4:31.
I'll give you a couple more minutes, and I'll blast off.
You're a good man.
You shouldn't be giving the time on this show, Leo. This is on demand.
It could be at 4:31 in Sweden.
4:31 in the morning.
We don't know what time it is. I loved this. I don't think we talked about it. The Secretary of State of California, Deborah Bowen, who was actually pretty sophisticated technology-wise. I used to talk to her a lot on my radio show on KFI because she was a Southland assemblywoman before she was Secretary of State. Funded some University of California Berkeley hackers. Gave them all the information she had about a variety of electronic voting machines. She said, go at it. They hacked them all, every one of them. Every one of them was hacked. And she has to decide if she's going to certify these for California state elections. But the good news is the House of Representatives in the U.S. was paying attention to this, and they have now agreed on a compromise bill banning paperless voting machines and requiring the one thing that every expert recommends, a voter-verified paper record for every vote.
I don't understand how that disappeared to begin with.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the first time I've actually had any good news to report from Congress at all. That's fantastic. I mean, I think it was this California research. I mean, it was all three of the top systems, too. It wasn't just Diebold. It was all of them. Easily hacked.
So let's hope that this bill goes through. H.R. 811, the Voter Confidence and Increased Accessibility Act of 2007. With any luck, this will become the law of the land. We got a big election coming up. I think it's important.
Well, a non-tech story also in the political realm is, but it's tech a little bit, is because everyone hated Ted Stevens back with his tubes.
Yes, Ted got his
tubes. It's not a truck.
And now he's getting investigated and getting his house raided in Alaska for apparently having unethical relationships with oil contractors doing building add-ons to his house kind of crap.
Something. Yeah, they built onto his house and then amazingly got some law in their favor.
But I just see in all the tech circles, everyone's secretly really excited about Ted Stevens getting closer to being indicted on something. Yeah, exactly.
The FBI pulled that big truck right up to his house.
I know it'd be fun to watch. But, you know, the thing is, everyone knew this something weird was going on when he, you know, was promoting that bridge to nowhere.
Right. There's always been the suspicion that he's been on the take. Suspicion, allegedly. IBM.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't want to get sued. On one of our other podcasts, Scott Bourne, who does the Mac Break Weekly, said, you know, we need to have a disclaimer on every podcast that says, wait a minute, I got to read this disclaimer, that some or all of the participants may have stock in some or all of the, maybe I got to find this. Disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to read a disclaimer. Any or all of the contributors to Twit Netcast, their families, agents, heirs, or assigns may hold positions in securities registered to publicly traded companies mentioned on the Twit Network. Thank you very much. He got me so scared I filed for an LLC. I said, geez Louise.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
It's not
for that kind of thing. No, not for that. You're talking about SEC violations.
I don't care if I go to jail. I just don't want to lose the house.
For SEC violations.
Oh, because would it be like RICO Act? They could take everything?
I don't think so. I mean, basically, you get fined.
Take my iPhone?
And, you know, the profits you made from your corrupt
Martha Stewart spend some time in...
No, she spent time because she lied to somebody when they asked her a simple question.
Okay, so tell the truth.
Which is another weird law. Now if the government, the gendarmes show up, you have to tell them the truth no matter what. Which you should say, of course, is I'm not telling you anything. I got a lawyer, and then have the lawyer do the talking.
Remember that, folks.
Because they, you know, can lie for you.
Lawyers are allowed legally to lie for you. Should just point that out.
They can perjure themselves.
No, it's not perjury.
It has to be under oath for perjury.
It's not perjury. It's just lawyerese. Lawyers, they look out for each other.
Is it because it's attorney-client privilege, therefore they don't have to disclose that they're lying?
I don't know.
They're not lying. Nobody lies. You're not supposed to lie. Do not lie, ladies and gentlemen.
Tell the truth, or you could be like Martha Stewart, who is on the cover of Wired magazine this month, with a cake in the shape of a Wii, I might add.
Let's go back to the story, Ballmer. We are hell-bent on succeeding in ads.
We are. I think we talked about this last week, but it's worth repeating. Ballmer says we are hell-bent in succeeding in online advertising. This is, well, you know a little bit about this, David Prager. I think there was a little heat from some of the diggers that Dig fired Google and went with Microsoft's online ads, which I think
I think it was more of Dig signing a pretty significant contract with Microsoft.
It wasn't
and
Google.
Who was
Federated
more firing?
Media,
yeah, I was gonna say who was more firing. I don't know if it was firing Federated.
Well, they were
media
using Google and stuff, FM. They were using both.
Yeah, and now it's pretty much Microsoft. We're going to use Microsoft for the majority of it.
What does Microsoft do for you?
Well, I mean, I don't know the details of what they did, but I'm pretty certain that, you know, they signed a pretty hefty deal that, you know, let Microsoft, you know, have most of the say on advertising on there. So I think it was a pretty positive thing for them because I think they went to Dig and said, hey, we want to offer you a pile of money to be able to do some of this. And I'm sure there was a lot of negotiation went on, but I'm thinking it was a pretty exciting thing for Dig to do. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it.
I'm sure there's a lot of money involved. It's, you know, it's a profit thing, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, I think, Jay was over at that, Jay Adelson was over at that conference in Idaho, at the Allen Conference, I think it's called.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big wigs over there.
That's a big conference. That's where you meet Rupert Murdoch and...
He was hanging out in some place, and there was
Warren
Bill Gates.
Buffett,
so we sat down and chatted with him for a few minutes, and I don't know, it's just interesting. You're walking down the hall.
It's like going backstage. You know, you go to a rock concert, right. You go backstage. Oh, I get a backstage pass. Oh, boy. And you go back there, and it's like, you don't know these people.
It's backstage without the groupies.
You got nothing to talk to them about. You know, I mean, what are you going to say to Rupert Murdoch if you run into him? Hey, good work on that Dow Jones deal. Good man. I mean, what are you going to say to him? You don't know him from Adam. You don't know if he likes football or baseball. So those kinds of conferences are always just, I don't understand. People just go there so they can be amongst them, each other. But
I got to go to a sushi restaurant with Steve Chen, one of the co-founders at YouTube, right after the whole YouTube Google, right after they got sued by Viacom. And you kind of just sit there and you think, well, so what do you think about this whole $1 billion Viacom lawsuit? Does that sound like the question of the day to you, or what?
So, it reminds me of something that's been floating around. That we saw it last night on television that, you know, Obama auctioned off a dinner with himself, I guess, with six people. They won, they got to sit around. So they were showing some clips from it. And it's like six people that don't know him from Adam. He doesn't know them. It's maximally uncomfortable for everybody. And he's just trying to keep the conversation going. They're asking stupid questions.
God, I mean, you look at this and you
go, Warren Buffett does it every year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's usually some business guy who...
It's very expensive, too. It's very expensive.
You think if you're successful enough as a businessman to be able to bid $500,000 to have dinner with Warren Buffett, do you really need to pick his mind for advice to make another $500,000?
I know, it makes no sense at all. I had dinner with Warren. You know, I bought the dinner.
Have you ever done that, John? Have you ever auctioned off, dinner with Dvorak?
Who wants dinner with Dvorak?
I don't know.
Occasionally there's a company with something to pitch me that wants dinner with Dvorak, and that's about it. But I mean, what's some, I've been to baseball games with members of the public on certain situations.
Well, there
and
you
it's,
go.
But there's an entertainment thing going on in your secondary.
That's true. You don't have to. So, I was on in 1989 when the year the Giants won the pennant, I was working at the Giants radio station. And so I was the titular head of the Giants fan club, and we had to go on a cruise with the Giants, Kevin Mitchell.
You had to go or got to go?
Well, I got to go. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But it was Kevin Mitchell. It was a bunch of Giants. And they didn't want to meet the public at all. So they just stayed in their stateroom. They literally ate their meals in the stateroom. And so as the only other person there who has anything to do with this, I had to, cozy up to all the paying patrons and, yeah, well, hey, so glad you're here. Oh, it was painful.
Well, I went to this last spring training. I was down in Phoenix, and I went to, or Scottsdale, wherever, where the A's go. And I went to the owner's party.
That's fun.
Which all these players, and you go there, and then you realize you got the same situation as going backstage with a rock band that you don't know personally. And it's like,
I'm a big fan,
all these players are there with their wives. Who's this idiot, kind of thing. It's grim.
It works out pretty well with like the Geek Cruises, doesn't it? Like
people go there. They're there to learn.
They're going there to see you guys talk about.
Yeah.
About
that's lectures. That's very different. That's a lot of fun. I actually bailed on the last Geek Cruise, and somebody wanted his money back.
Yeah.
They actually had to give somebody his money back because I bailed on the cruise.
Well, that guy wanted. He obviously had a crush on you.
He wanted to meet me, be with me for a week.
Speaking about Federated Media, the big ad network. Did you see Morgan Webb's new show?
Oh, hey, yes, I did. I take credit for that.
Why?
I ran into Morgan at the airport about 2 or 3 months ago. She said, contract with G4 is running out. She was talking to them, some other people. I said, Morgan, you don't need to be on. You should be, of all people, you should be doing internet video. You'd be huge. You'd be very successful. You'd make a lot of money. Write your own ticket. Why are you still working for people? I said, come work for her. Come work for Twit if you want, but I think you could do this on your own. She has. She's put it all together, and you know what? It's good. She's very good.
Yeah, it's actually better than a lot of the stuff out there. You know, the
Mike Arrington gave him a big plug. Did you see that?
But her husband's an entrepreneur, so it shouldn't be like a big problem.
There's advertising on it already. There's a lot of advertising on the page.
They did a big long partnership before, I don't know how long. But they worked it through Federated Media. So if Federated Media can't have an ad on the first thing, then they're obviously failing. And luckily, they're not. So
no, it's quite good, and it's rocket boomish. But one of the big differences, which I commend them on this, they're a good choice. Was and it's somewhat like what we do, only it's 5 minutes. It's very quick. Talks about the news, but they show the sites that she's quoting. So they give credit to the blogs and so forth. And I think that's great. I think that's smart because the blogs will, return the favor, I'm sure.
Have you invited her onto Twit?
I have not. I will, but she's going to be on the radio show on Sunday. So,
well, I sent her a note and said, "Hey, welcome to the online world." And I said that we always do all these cross promotions with, you know, other people. You know, we go Twit and we go on Ask a Ninja and we go on all these other things. And she said that she's totally open to doing.
Oh, she would love to do that. No, we've been talking. In fact, I promised to have her on Twit. It's webalert2bs.com. And, it's she's smart to do this. I think it's crazy not to. In fact, you know, she and Adam were the last people still on G4 after and Joshua Brentano behind the scenes from the Tech TV days.
Adam was there from the launch day as the only talent who's still talented.
From day one. Just... That's kind of pathetic. It's kind of sad. You know, I got an email invitation to be on Attack of the Show, and they said, "Hope there's not too much baggage." And I said, "There's way too much baggage. There's no way I'm going to be on Attack of the Show. What are you crazy?"
What's Attack of the Show?
That's the sixth. That's the name of the G4 show that they basically renamed the Screensavers to. There's no way I'm going to be on that.
I don't watch G4 at all.
Nobody. That's the other thing. I mean, I would do it. I suppose if it were the Today Show, you know, if there were a huge audience, but more people would hear about it than would watch it and would say, "Whoa, I guess Leo's supporting G4 now." I'm not going to do that.
Oh, there'd be a YouTube clip. Everyone would see it.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. Hey, I want to thank Audible.com for the support that they've given the Twit Network. It's a natural relationship. Audible is, of course, a wonderful way to read books on your iPod or MP3 player, cell phone. They work on hundreds of devices. Or on your computer, you can even burn CDs. This week's Audible book, I don't know if you guys have read this. I talked at the beginning of the week about Andrew Keen, you know, the guy who says, the internet is just ruining culture. And I wanted to give a opposing viewpoint. A book by Don Tapscott, who I've known for some time. Wikinomics, How Mass Collaboration Changes Everything. Have you guys, either of you, read this book?
Yeah, I did. It's actually quite interesting. By the way, it's Elton John agrees with the other guy.
Oh, I got to tell you about that story in just a second. I want to talk about Elton John.
Actually, do you listen to these books in your car ever?
Well, when I was commuting to Tech TV, I would literally get 3 hours of reading done every single day. I put it on my iPhone, and just everywhere I go, I listen to books. I have listened to hundreds of these books. Audible.com/twit. It's if you want to, you can get a credit toward a book free. I believe it's U.S. only, although it depends on the book. But if you go to audible.com/twit and search for Wikinomics, Wikinomics, that could be your free book. Sign up. And we thank you for your support and thank Audible for their support. It's a great. I am a major Audible fan. I've been a customer for as long as they've been around. I think I joined in the first few years of Audible, and I still listen to a lot of books. Wikinomics is fascinating. Actually, it's kind of like the Wisdom of Crowds, which I should recommend as another Audible book I will do on another show. I have a feeling, I don't know, has Kevin ever mentioned that it was Wisdom of Crowds that inspired Dig?
No, I always thought it was him reading Slashdot and wanting to see all the other submitted stories to the editor.
Oh, that's it. The ones that didn't make it.
Yeah. I mean,
that makes sense,
I'm sure there's
actually
a few factors, but yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. So Sir Elton John says they should shut the internet for 5 years. What's the story, John? You probably have it on Dvorak.org/blog, I'm sure.
Yeah, we did it as soon as it came out.
It's so funny.
He came up with this notion that, and then later admitted that he doesn't know really too much about anything that's tech. But he came up with this concept that the internet, according to him, is keeping people from mixing, you know, going out of the house, and they're blogging too much, and it also is ruining music because people are doing music in their garage.
They're listening to too much music.
And, you know, it was just like this crackpot thing, like, you know, saying that art, and the reason for shutting down for 5 years is because the art scene will blossom, according to his thinking. And it's just like, okay, well, this poor guy's insane.
It's just confused.
But, he's only 60. I mean, he shouldn't be this old.
He and Ted Stevens should go off together and
go to the inner tubes.
Go to the inner tubes.
If you get a chance, go to Google and type in Onion internet crash. You'll find the Onion did a mock news story about the the web crash of 2007 when the entire internet went down.
See, John was right.
It's really funny. It's really funny.
You know, the Onion is so well done. It's so funny, and it's often so subtle.
The following is brought to you by
I just started it by accident. I shouldn't have started the video. It's so subtle that sometimes you believe it's real.
Well, I've never had that happen, but I can see.
Okay, I'm a little stupid.
Maybe you, Leo.
Wow! You mean they really, the internet got crashed? Wow!
Well, you know, the funny thing about the Onion is they also have a print version.
Yeah, I mean, like a print, not just a web page, but there's actually a newspaper.
Yeah, you can get it. They distribute it around San Francisco for one place.
That's how it started.
Yeah, and it's great because it's free. You can just pick it up in all these restaurants.
Yeah, it's along with the Examiner, and there's the San Francisco Daily News. We have like 3 or 4 free newspapers now in the Bay Area because, you know, the real newspapers can't make any. They're losing millions a week. Yeah, I don't know how that is, but they are.
But the free ones are making money?
Who knows?
Doesn't make any sense.
I think the Onion is making a decent amount of money just through their following.
I mean, the Onion is this. I mean, the Onion is. Let me see if I could skip through the commercial.
It's brought to you by TLC's new series, LA Inc.
Free
Inc.
commercial
is open for
on
business.
Twitch. Never mind.
They can pay.
I love this. They do this so well. This is done like CNN, and the graphics are good.
As you may know, the entire internet has crashed. More now on our continuing coverage.
Welcome back. Details are still emerging tonight about this evening's top story. The government is still dealing with the repercussions of the fatal error message that appeared on millions of computer screens worldwide less than 2 hours ago. And just moments ago, FBI officials announced that they had traced the crash of the internet tonight to this man, Eric Tipton of Wallingford, Connecticut. Tipton said he had more than 35 windows open on his computer at the time of the crash. He had been downloading the Yola Tango discography from iTunes while streaming several YouTube videos, listening to an NPR broadcast, instant messaging his friends, checking 3 email accounts, talking on Skype, and playing online poker, all while installing the latest version of Firefox and updating his system software.
When he half of us have kind of done that.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love about The Onion. This is so well done. And if you look at it, it's perfect. I mean, it's a perfect parody. It could absolutely...
Yeah, they do good work there, I have to say. You know, the funny thing is the... by the way, the funny thing is when he mentioned Firefox, I'm having more trouble with Firefox.
Oh, it's very crashy. 2.0.
Hanging up my system, crashing...
I actually am very disappointed with 2.0, and they've sent me notes saying, well, Leo, what's wrong? Some of it is just the extensions. You got to be careful about what extensions
you install. I don't have that many extensions, but I'll tell you this. Every once in a while, the system goes into a funk.
Yeah.
I go and I hit the Control-Alt-Delete to look at what's chewing up my cycles, and it's Firefox.
Yeah. Everybody knows this.
It hooks up to some ad server or something, and then the next thing you know, it's just basically pinging it constantly.
And it didn't do that until 2.0. Now, they keep putting out updates. It seems like it's getting better, so make sure you're updating it.
I wonder how many installs Safari has on PCs since they released it.
You know, that thing doesn't work.
No, there's no
point. I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, you have the sites. Like, if anybody out there with Safari on a PC, go to the KQED Channel 9 website in San Francisco. The site doesn't even come up because it's got whatever kind of JavaScript they're using. It doesn't even display.
No, there's a lot of
Safari
sites.
It's a complete disaster.
Don't blame Safari. I don't know if it's Safari's problem. I think it's also, frankly, a lot of sites aren't well designed. Google has never been able to get Google Spreadsheet to work with Safari, but it's not that Safari adheres to web standards. Doesn't work with Opera either.
Web standards from the 40s?
No, actually, that's the problem. Is that many, Firefox and Internet Explorer, in fact, do things differently than the web standards. They don't.
They all do things differently. And if you go take enough, you look at enough CSS.
Well, that's the thing.
If you go to the acid test, try the acid test
because that works on Opera and it works on Safari, and it's the only two browsers it works on.
Well,
the CSS
all
acid
I know
test.
Is, you know. It doesn't make any difference when very few people are hearing
to
that.
Because everybody's using either Firefox or Internet Explorer, so it doesn't matter.
So, but the point is that, you know, all these things render differently, but the Safari is the... I mean, I like it just slightly fast. That's okay, but Opera's fast, too, so I don't see it any better than Opera. It just doesn't work on a lot of sites. And what good is it to go to a... Use a browser that works, and then all of a sudden you have to go load a different browser anyway because this one site won't even come up.
Yeah, no. That's why I use Firefox everywhere because it at least has enough market share now that every site seems to work in it.
Well, actually, Opera's pretty good.
Ah, see, again, Google Spreadsheet will not work in Opera.
Okay, well, so
I agree with you. Opera's
Google
a great browser. Well, I do, so there you go. We are going to...
all your money.
I was really hoping to get Patrick on to explain where he's going, what he's doing. He's having a baby. That's great news. Congratulations, Patrick.
I thought his wife was.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. That would have been a big news story. All this time, you thought it was a little extra weight? No, he's been pregnant. Cat. Oh, that's mean. Oh, that's cold. See, if he were here, he could defend himself.
Pat's barrel chested.
And he's barrel chested. What was it? Greg Brannon said he's the lunchbox crowd.
Yeah,
What is that dong? Is that a bell?
No, it's a wine glass,
do you
actually.
Have a, I was going to say, do you have a Buddhist temple bell? All right, that's the time. Round two. It's time for
round
us.
Round two.
And I must say, Dvorak does look good in a bikini. John C. Dvorak is available on his blog at Dvorak.org/blog. Also writes for Market Watch, which is now a Rupert Murdoch company. Congratulations, John.
Yeah, Rupert and I are going to go shoot some hoops.
Is this the first time you've worked for Rupert?
Yep. And I'm a happy camper. Now I've done everything.
He also appears in PC Magazine and is a regular, really the star of Twitter. So glad that we could get you, John, even though you have to run off. Take that wine glass and imbibe. That's beautiful. That's better than a Buddhist temple bell. I feel like meditating now.
I'm going to keep it here now.
I think it's beautiful. David Prager is at Revision 3, which is about to rule the media world.
I will try to do some good stuff.
Thank you, David. It's good to talk to you both. We thank you all for joining us. It's a short twit, but we'll be back next week with a longer one, unless we're not. Thanks for joining us. Another twit.
This is amazing.
Is in the can.
I should have paid attention. I don't know what I'm going to do. Too much work. The problem is, there's no limit. My server's completely collapsed. So here's the deal. I'm just trying to get the thing up, but I have a hell of a time. What blue screens? Like, forget it. I'm killing you.